This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. For those of us who are thankful to be completely done with school, we may all tend to agree that the very best part is that we don't have to take any more tests. In this week's message entitled, Why Does God Test Me?, Pastor Aaron reminds us that whatever age we are, testing will continue, but there are three very good benefits to come from this testing. This message was delivered on August 26th, 2018. Here now is Pastor Aaron.
And good morning, everybody. Good morning. You all made it through all the weather and everything. Yeah, what a week. But if you didn't know it before, I'm going to educate you right now. In Hilo, or on the East Big Island, it rains. Okay? If you haven't figured that out yet, now you know. Well, what a week, yeah? Excuse me while I get this on. Oh, much better. You know, this morning I came at 4 o'clock to set up all the media stuff, and I didn't realize, but during the week I took my glasses out of the car. And it took me 10 minutes to get the lock pad open because I couldn't see the numbers on there. Tell you, that was terrible, standing in the rain with that. So I remembered today to bring my glasses. And I tell you what, you guys look good. Well, it's August now, and we're in the last week of August, and our kids just went back to school, and they already got a five-day weekend. How about that? Now, perhaps it wasn't the way that they preferred, but nevertheless, I'm sure at least some of them were grateful. I know one kid in particular that I'm sure it was, my coworker's son. Because last week I asked my coworker, I said, hey, how are your kids doing back in school? Adjusting well? And he shook his head, he put his head down, and he said, oh, my youngest boy, grounded already. And I said, why? Because he failed his first test. So he's grounded. And I looked at him and said, what? 3 weeks and they're taking tests already? That's crazy. But he was real disappointed, and you know, I could identify with him because my son AJ right there, he was grounded since he was in kindergarten, all the way through high school. In fact, in kindergarten, he failed nap time. In preschool, he failed nap time. But always seemed like he was grounded. And you know, it was in taking the tests that he didn't do real well. And I think even in that time, he was learning a very valuable lesson that no matter what, if you're ready for it or not, the tests come. And they don't come just in school, but they come every single day, don't they? In every single way. The fact is that no matter who we are or what we do, we get tested every day in every way. Certainly all of us were tested this past week, yeah? In some way. And in some way, I'm sure that most of us were tested just this morning. Now I'm going to tell you something that you may or may not know. Because what's more is that our God, who we sang to this morning, who we know that loves us beyond the shadow of a doubt, our God allows these tests to happen. In fact, not only does he allow the test to happen, he actually orchestrates many of them. And I've heard it said this way, that he does so. He does this because he loves us way too much to leave us the way we are. You know who I heard that from? Sitting in the second row over here, my dad, Pastor Alex. So today, we're going to answer two questions. Two questions about being tested. Why and what? First question, why does God test me? And then the second question, what do I need to do to pass? You guys ready to go back to school this morning? Now, I don't know about you, but knowing that I will be tested by God is a very scary thing because the last thing I want to do is fail God. Also know this, that by the time I was finished with high school, after 13 years of organized education, I was sick of taking tests. Maybe that's the reason why I didn't do so well in college. But if I had known then what I know now, that the tests don't stop when the bell rings, maybe I'd have tried a little harder. Again, the tests don't stop. Every single day, God will allow challenges to pop up in our lives. And we get to make a choice. Either we're going to step up to the challenge, or we're going to run from it. Now, here's the thing about godly testing. If we step up and pass, the reward is we get to take another test. We get to move on to the next level. But that is how God grows us from one glory to the next. But here's the thing. If we don't step up and we fail to pass the test, then you know what happens? Then we get to take it over again and over again and over again until we do pass. You know, I know this one pastor who every time he goes driving, he gets tested. And he keeps failing the test, so he keeps taking them over and over again. But you've been passing lately, right? You know, I've known some people to be Christians for 50 years who never grow because they don't step up to the challenges. A few months back, we were reading together in our bookmarks about the nation of Israel's journey from Egypt to the Promised Land. And something you may not know, that this was supposed to be a 3-week journey. Took them 40 years. You know why? Because they kept on failing the tests. Now listen, everybody, because this is the truth. That when it comes to being tested by God, there is no cheating the system. It's an open book test. Yes, but there's no skating by. You keep taking the tests until you pass, and then you move on to the next one. That's how God is when it comes to testing. He's very, very patient. And he's very patient because he desires that everybody pass. He's not like some of the teachers that we had in school that we can swear. They rigged the test so that nobody would pass. God is not like that. And you know how I know? Because the original exam to get into heaven was perfection, living an unblemished life, a grade that nobody could attain to. Instead, because God loves you and I so much, he sent his son to take the test for us. And our part is simply to fall in love with him for that. That's how I know. God does not want us to fail. Besides, trying to get somebody to fail is not called testing. It's called tempting. And you can jot that down into your notes, that God tests us. He never tempts us. God tests us. He never tempts us. You see, temptation is what the world does. And if you don't believe me, then just watch any commercial on TV. They're dangling something in front of us, trying to make us believe that we need it, can't live without it, so that we'll give in and give them what they want. That's the thing about temptation. Temptation always has a personal agenda. And if we never learn to pass the test that God orchestrates, we will always fall to the agenda of temptation. I say this, go with godly testing, because testing is purpose for success. Testing is purpose for success. And that's the heart of our God, that we would pass the test that he sets before us, and not just pass, but thrive in the face of adversity presented by the temptations of this world. Now, Jesus pulls no punches when he talks about this. He says it plain and simple in John 16. He says, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. No beating around the bush. Jesus says it. You're going to face troubles. You're going to have challenges. You're going to be tempted. But, and I love it when he says this, take heart. Take heart, because I already overcame it. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to teach you how to overcome it as well. You know how? Through tests. Not because I hate you, but because I want you to become everything I created you to be. And it's through the testing, through the challenges, that he'll mold us and shape us into his image. And you can write that down into the A of why does God test me? It is to refine me. Why does God test us? To refine us. In 1 Peter 1, we find this verse where Peter writes, "So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead. Even though you have to endure many trials for a little while, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. When your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world." Now, let me just tell you a little bit about this guy, the guy who wrote this. We know him as the Apostle Peter, but he wasn't always an apostle. In fact, he wasn't even always Peter. His name was actually Simon. Simon the fishing boat captain. Jesus actually gave him the nickname Peter, and it stuck. Peter, by the way, means pohaku, the rock. And that's exactly the kind of guy that Peter was. If you know anything about fishing boat captains, they are rocks. They're hard. Hard head, hard heart, hard hands, and most of all, hard of hearing, because they don't listen to anybody. You don't mess with these guys. Well, what does Jesus do? He takes this rock and he refines Peter into one of the greatest men the church has ever known. Through the refinery of testing, Peter becomes the rock that Christ built his church on. Now, how did he do that? Not through the good times, not even through miracles. Peter was refined through the tests, the challenges, and boy, was he ever tested. One time, Jesus told him that he was about to get arrested. Arrested, tried, and then sentenced to death. And what does the rock do? What does Peter do? Peter steps forward and says, "Over my dead body. No way will this ever happen." Now, if I tell somebody, "Oh, I did something, I'm going to get arrested," and they come up to me and they stand in front of me and say, "No way, I got your back," I'm ecstatic. I stay behind this guy. This guy's my friend. I'm in love with him. But not Jesus. You know what? Jesus turns to Peter in front of everybody. He says, "Get behind me, Satan, because you're looking with man's eyes, not God's." Can only imagine how Peter felt after that one. Yeah. Another time, right after that, Peter comes up to Jesus and he tells Jesus, "You know what? Okay, so you're going to get arrested, but no matter what, I'm going to be behind you. I'm going to follow you through all the way and I'm going to have you back." And Jesus turns to him and says, "No, you're not. In fact, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you're going to deny me 3 times. Can you imagine how Peter felt about that? He's thinking in his mind, "No way." But what happens? Jesus gets arrested. They're taking him away. And Peter is following from a distance because he doesn't want to get arrested too. And somebody recognizes him and he says, "Hey, you the guy, eh? You the one that Jesus calls the rock. You part of his crew." And Peter says, "No, wrong guy, not me." Then somebody else comes up and says, yeah, you was with Jesus at this time. And Peter says, no, that wasn't me. And then somebody else says, "Yes, it was you. I recognize you." And Peter says, "No way, I don't even know this guy." And what happens after that? Jesus turns and looks Peter straight in the eyes. Whew, you can imagine that test? And the rooster crows. Peter failed Jesus. These are 2 big times. Peter failed Jesus. Here's the thing. He failed those tests, yes. Here's the thing about failure. So I've heard it said like this, that we can turn failures into successes, but we can't do anything with excuses. You know what Peter did with those failures? He made no excuses. He went back. He allowed God to finish the work that was done in him. And he passed those tests, so much so that God built the church on the rock called Peter. Not through the high times, but through the challenges. Always remember this, that gold is refined by fire. Diamonds are created under extreme pressure. Pearls are developed through irritation. How many of you can say that sometimes you feel like you're under the fire, under extreme pressure? Well, I can vouch for this one. I'm always irritated. The finest things come about because of challenges. How much more the design that God has for our lives. When you feel that way, understand that it's not something bad. God is doing something beautiful. We should be happy when we face the tests, knowing that God is creating beauty out of our struggles in our lives. In fact, that's what it says in James 1. Where James writes, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work in you, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Again, that is God's heart, that we be processed into everything He designed us to be, not lacking in anything. When we go through tests, not run away from them, we get refined as we watch the Master mold and shape us into something beautiful. And every time this happens, every time we see God's work in this, it'll remind us of how awesome God is and who is really in control, which you can write into B. Why does God test me? To remind me. To remind me. Earlier, I touched on the plight of the nation of Israel, wandering in the desert for 40 years. You know what their biggest challenge was? Why they kept failing the tests? It's because they kept forgetting about God. Every time things went well, they forgot all about Him, and then they fell prey to the temptations that surrounded them. Folks, it's so easy for that to happen to you and I. How many times are we like that? That when things get easy for us, when things are going good, when our finances are good, when our families are good, when life is just wonderful, how many times do we feel like we do that all on our own? And then we forget about God. That's why God... We tend to become lazy and complacent, and we forget. And know this, that if we forget who's really in control, no matter how smooth our lives can run, we got nothing. If God is not part of the equation of our lives, then it always equals zero. In fact, you know what the true definition of hell is? Hell is simply the absence of God. That's what it is. That's why tests come, so that we'll always turn our focus back to God. Romans 8:28 is one of my favorite scriptures. It's one of the first 10 scriptures that I ever memorized. And it says, "And we know that God causes all things," how many things? "All things to work together for the good, to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." And that's what God does. He causes everything, not just the good stuff, not just the blessings, but everything to happen for the good. He sends the challenges so that we'll never forget that He's in control and not us. And as we set our focus back on Him, it helps us to stay in line with what He's doing. And you can write that into C. Why does God test me? To realign me. To realign me. Now, we often talk about this king named David. And everybody, including me, wants to be David, like David, to identify with him. Because David is the one who killed the giant. He's the one who, in battle, he wiped out tens of thousands. He became a great king. And most of all, he was known by God himself as a man after God's own heart. That's how God referred to David. You see, David was special. But even this special guy was prone to temptation. Even the man after God's own heart forgot who he was at certain times. But you know what made him special? It wasn't that he was perfect. It was that he allowed God, through the tests and through the challenges, to correct him. David was constantly allowing God to realign him. Listen to this prayer in Psalm 139, where David writes, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything to me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life." You see, that's why God saw David as special. Because David welcomed the testing. He even asked for it. And he allowed God to set him straight every single time. Same thing in our lives. Same thing. The world will challenge us with temptations. Whether it be money or addictions or whatever, it doesn't matter what it is. Whether it's big or small. The fact is that it's not a social condition. It's not a mental condition. It's a heart condition that is not in line with God's plan. But like David, let God test your heart. 1 Thessalonians reminds us this. It says, our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our heart. So it comes to this. When God has permission to test our hearts, to the point, and to point out what needs to be corrected. When we surrender our motives to Him, as He tests us, He can realign us back on track with Him. Which leads us right into the question of, so what do I need to do to pass? Straight out of the heart of David, okay? You may not like this word, but A, cooperate. Cooperate. Basically, don't fight God. You know why? You don't can win. You cannot win if you fight God. Let me rephrase it this way. You can win if you cooperate with God. You can pass the tests when you cooperate with Him. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." I want you to understand two things this morning. First, that God knows what He's doing in your life. How many of you know that God knows what He's doing? Okay, for all of you who never raise your hands, God knows what He's doing, okay? Now you know. He takes these tests personally. That's why I said in your life. And so should you and I. Second, know that God is bigger than any test that can come your way. God is bigger. Somebody once blessed me like this. They prayed over me and they said, "God will never lead you where His love will not cover you. He will always be sufficient." So cooperate with Him. Allow Him, or better yet, invite Him to know your heart. And through the tests, let Him teach you the lessons that will mold you into everything that He's made you to be. And then take those lessons and B, incorporate. Incorporate them into your life. Again, really basically, do something about it. Don't let it stand still. Don't take the lesson and shove them under a bed. Do something about it. James 1 tells us this. It says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. There always has to be application. That's how God works. Without applying it into your life, the test is incomplete. So incorporate what you learn and let God take you from glory to glory. Work with him as he molds and shapes you into everything that he's imagined you to be. Don't ever settle for less. We will face tests in this life, and God will bring them. Why? All summed up because he loves you too much to leave us the way we are. He'll do it to refine us, to remind us, and to realign us. So let me encourage you all this morning. Let's choose to cooperate and incorporate with him. Amen? Now, as usual, I have a bottom line for you, so don't put away your notes, okay? But this morning, the bottom line is three questions for you to answer. But before we get to that, I want to share with you this little story. Story about a little boy who actually faced some serious tests in the classroom. And the story goes like this. Little Zachary was doing very badly in school. His parents had tried everything. Tutors, mentors, flashcards, special learning centers. In short, everything they could think of to help him. Finally, in a last-ditch effort, they took Zachary down and enrolled him in the local Catholic school. After the first day, little Zachary came home with a very serious look on his face. He didn't even kiss his mother hello. Instead, he went straight to his room and started studying. Books and papers were spread out all over the room, and little Zachary was hard at work. His mother was amazed. She called him down to dinner. To her shock, the minute he was done, he marched back to his room without a word. And in no time, he was back hitting the books as hard as before. This went on for some time, day after day, while the mother tried to understand what made all the difference. Finally, little Zachary brought home his report card, quietly laid it on the table, went up to his room, and hit the books. With great trepidation, his mother looked at it, and to her great surprise, Zachary got all A's. She could no longer hold her curiosity. She went to his room and said, "Son, what is it? Was it the nuns?" Little Zachary looked at her and shook his head. "No." "Well then," she replied, "was it the books, the discipline, the structure, the uniforms? What was it?" Little Zachary looked up at her and said, "Well, on the first day of school, when I saw that guy nailed to the plus sign, I knew they weren't fooling around." I love that story. But I wanted to tell you that this morning, because I want you to know and remember that beyond the shadow of a doubt, God is not fooling around with your life. He takes us that seriously, all the way up into eternity. And he loves us so much that he won't allow us to stay the way that we are. He wants to take us from glory to glory until he is fit to finish the work in us that he created. A beautiful work. You're going to face the fire. You're going to face pressure. You're going to face irritation. You're going to face trials, tribulations. You will be tested. That's the truth. Don't let anybody ever tell you otherwise. But God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. And all we got to do is cooperate with him and incorporate. So the three questions. Number one, and this is your homework, okay? I will check, you know that. In what area of my life is God testing me right now? I want you to think about that. When you go home, put them down on paper so that you can see it straight out for yourselves. Number two, how am I cooperating with him? Or better yet, am I cooperating with him? And then number three, what am I incorporating from what I've learned? And how? Get it? Good. Now go do well. Pastor Scott?
Thank you, Pastor Aaron. What a wonderful message, yeah? You know, for a long time, you know that God has been testing me when I drive, as you heard. And within the last couple weeks, I just find that if you just drive the minimum speed limit, there's nobody blocking your way. And it's so nice. I've been doing that, and it's like I've been finding my heart rate so much better because now I got this Fitbit. And I tell you, you can look at your heart rate, and it's like, okay, it's good. I guarantee you, but every time I go fishing, it goes up. I think that's good exercise. So whatever God is testing you in right now, don't fail the test, all right? Because if you fail the test, you're going to take it again. How many of you failed tests before? I failed many. That's why, look, I'm 55 years old, and I'm only where I'm at now because I failed many tests before. But I kept on going through. But just, and if you are in a test right now and you find yourself struggling, not knowing what to do, just fill out this prayer request form, drop it in that acrylic box, and we will be happy to pray for you. Amen. Well, we're going to pray, and as I pray, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Lord, thank you so much that you love us so greatly that you test us so that we don't stay the same, but we continue to grow. Whatever was spoken, your word this morning, help us to put it into our hearts. So every time we get tested, and in this test that we can see your great love that you have for each and every one of us. And give us the tools that we need to pass these tests. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So would you stand and join us as we sing?
Been listening to Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.